Now, this man teaches us that God does not require perfection in order to be used by him. God can take a very imperfect person and mold him through circumstances to become an instrument of righteousness. So even if you feel unqualified, God will receive you and bless you for your faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 reads, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." After a long list of particular people with specific reference to their acts of faith, the writer of this faith chapter of the Bible suddenly begins to generalize his list. He writes names without relating acts of faith to each one as he did before. This verse lists six men by name and refers to many others who are unnamed. The six he lists reach from the days of the judges to the early monarchy in the history of the nation of Israel. Three of them were judges, political and military leaders of the Hebrews. One was a judge and a prophet, Samuel by name, and one was a king, David. There are many other prophets to whom mention is made, but those names are not given. Another interesting thing is seen in this list. If the six names are listed in pairs in the order they're given, Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel, the second of each pair is historically before the first. Barak was before Gideon, Jephthah was before Samson, and Samuel was before David. Now, why that order is followed is unknown to us today. But let us look at the record of each of the six men listed in Hebrews 11:32. Each man is given as an example of faith in God. What was there about him that made him significant enough to be listed in this faith chapter of the Bible? Consider Gideon first. The record of his exploits are recorded in Judges 6, 7, and 8. He was not a man of faith when God first chose him. In fact, his faith arose from the personal contacts he had with God himself. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he disciplined them for 7 years by making them subject to the people of Midian. They hid in dens and caves in the mountains, trying to escape the oppressors. The Midianites destroyed all the livestock and the produce of the field, causing Israel to be greatly, greatly impoverished. In their distress, they cried out to the Lord. So God's angel came to Gideon when he was threshing grain by the wine press in an effort to hide from the Midianites. The angel said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Well, Gideon could not believe the Lord was with him or his nation because of what they were suffering. But God commissioned Gideon to become the leader in overthrowing the altars of the pagan god Baal and to lead an army against the Midianites. Gideon wanted proof God was with him, so he laid out a fleece two nights, asking God to make it wet one night while the grass around it was dry, and asking God to make it dry the other while the grass around it was wet with dew. Well, after that proof of God's presence, Gideon believed God without question. Now, what does that teach you and me today? Well, it teaches the man without courage can have faith in God. It teaches the coward can become bold when he trusts God. It teaches that you can be strong through faith in God, even if you are fearful at this moment. Gideon teaches us to trust God instead of fearing men. Second, consider Barak. The record of his exploits are recorded in Judges chapters 4 and 5. Now, Barak was a military leader of the Hebrew army in northern Palestine. The Canaanites were oppressing them because of their sins against God. Deborah, a prophetess, called Barak and commanded him to take 10,000 men from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun to fight Sisera, the Canaanite captain. Barak agreed to go, provided Deborah would go with him in his army. Otherwise, he would not go. And that man is given as an example of faith in Hebrews 11:32. Where is his faith? Well, he proved that his faith was not in the army or in his military wisdom. It was in God. So if the prophet of God went with him, he would go gladly into battle. If the prophet did not go, he would not venture an encounter with the enemy. What a lesson of faith Barak teaches us. It is not enough for us to obey the commands of God. We must trust God to go with us and enable us to obey His commands. Barak's faith in God was shown in his insistence that God's prophet accompany him. Are you trusting God personally and specifically for each day's victories? Consider Samson next. You can read the summary of his life in Judges chapters 13 through 16. Now, Samson was a strange person with contradictions in his character from time to time. He was far from the perfect man you would expect a judge of God to be. Samson attempted to marry a pagan woman. He was subject to violent expressions of anger. He betrayed the secret of his strength, his commitment to God as a Nazarite, to Delilah. And he always had a weakness for a beautiful woman. Yet he was a judge used of God and an example of faith. Now this man teaches us that God does not require perfection in order to be used by Him. God can take a very imperfect person and mold him through circumstances to become an instrument of righteousness. Samuel erred, but he never forgot God. The reality of God brought him back once and again to the way of righteousness, and his death was a great testimony of his devotion to God. So even if you feel unqualified, God will receive you and bless you for your faith. Then, consider Jephthah. You can read of him in Judges chapters 11 and 12. He was an illegitimate child who was rejected by his own family and driven away from home. And yet, God chose him as a judge and a deliverer from the Amorite oppressors. So let us learn that God does not see as men see. The person rejected of men may be the very one God chooses. Faith in God is possible to all, even the outcasts of society. Let Jephthah teach you to trust God in spite of people's opinions of you. And consider David, the king. He's the only king to be mentioned by name in all this list of men and women of faith. His life record shows he had faults. But it shows also his readiness to humble himself before God and seek forgiveness when he had fallen. Here is a man who has the responsibility of ruling a nation. And yet, he has time to seek God, to know Him, to trust Him, to write songs of praise to Him. So let David teach you to find time to serve God also. You will never be too busy to trust Him and serve Him if you trust Him like David did. Then consider Samuel, last of the judges, first of a great line of prophets. He manifested the prophet gift and knew the call of God even in his early youth. When the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the personal presence of God among the Hebrews, had been taken by the Philistines, Samuel taught the people to trust God without dependence on a visible symbol of His presence. He anointed both Saul and later David as king of Israel. He held the nation together through a turbulent transition period in her history. He was above all a man of God. So let Samuel teach you to trust God even when you have no visible proof of His presence or power in your life. Trust Him when the winds of inspiration are blowing. Trust Him when you feel no inspiration of His presence, for He is there the one time as well as the next. You trust Him without requiring proof of His presence, and He will give you all the proof of His presence you could ever need. Father, we have learned to trust You in all circumstances, and we thank You we can trust You when we are afraid. We can trust when we're faced with overwhelming obstacles. We can trust when people have rejected us. We can trust You even when You are not evident to our senses. So we do trust You, Father. And we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.